Nope. I was going to do technology, but I'm going to go old-fashioned. Yep. Feel more comfortable with this. How are you today? I have the blessing to finish chapter 8. This is an awesome chapter. I'm very excited. I preached like 2 weeks ago. I started the chapter, and now I have the privilege to finish the chapter. Before we go into this, I just want to remind you that what you're about to read and what we're going to learn is just pure beauty. This is just so beautiful, and I want you to think about how beautiful is the word of the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, I introduced this chapter, agreeing with Luther when he said that he thought that this was the masterpiece of the New Testament. And also, I agree with another writer that he said that if the Bible was a precious ring, the most beautiful ring, the book of Romans will be the most beautiful stone on that ring. And chapter 8 is the light, the brightest spot in that stone. And that's how people see this chapter, and it's because it's so beautiful. There's a lot of different other chapters in the Bible that are also beautiful, but this one is special. This is beautiful. And this beauty is not going to change. As a matter of fact, it's going to get better, and it's just going to blow our mind. One of the things that we found until this point in this chapter is firm affirmations. A lot of good firm affirmation, things that are really good, and especially during this time of so much uncertainty, we don't know where the world is going. But the Lord just gave them firm affirmations. So let me read you a few of them. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's one. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your bodies. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. If we are children, then we are heirs. All those are affirmations. There is no doubt about it. The Lord is making sure that you understand this, okay? And this, again, is really good to know all the things in these times because we don't know. A lot of things are so uncertain, but the Lord tells us, no, I want you to know who you are and who you are in me. Pastor Dave, also just to refresh in the memory, last week we went through, he spoke about suffering and the importance of the Spirit during this time of suffering. And we're going to read again how important is the Spirit of the Lord on us as we keep going through the chapter. And so tonight, we're going to close the chapter. But before we go into the chapter itself, I want to pray. So if you pray with me. Thank you so much, Lord, because you are so good to us. And you never leave us. You're always there for us. And I want to pray, Lord, that you can open our hearts and our minds so we can just focus on you and your word, Lord. Lord, we don't want to miss any of the beauty of this part of your word, Lord. We want to take everything as possible coming from you, Lord. Please chain our hearts and make us help us to see who you are and who we are before you, Lord. We are thankful for allow us to learn your word and be before your presence. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so let's start this. I'm excited. I'm really excited. This is an awesome chapter. We're going to read from verse 28 to 30, and then we're going to stop there for a moment. So Romans 8, verse 28 through verse 30. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those who he predestined, he also called. And those who he called, he also justified. And those who he justified, he also glorified. So we're going to stop right there. And we're gonna take verse 28, and we're going to stop there for a little bit. So we're going to go really slow in verse 28 because it's a lot in there. At least I would just keep getting out of that, just that verse. So, but then we're going to move a little faster. But verse 28, I wanted to think about this. How we start this, we know, that's it, we know. You see how the Lord, every time that he starts moving through this chapter, are affirmations, we know, there is no doubt about it. We know, what do we know? That for those who love God, okay, we know now that this is not an affirmation for everyone, right? This is an affirmation for certain people. What people? Those who love God. How we know those, the people that love God? Where we learn in the beginning of the chapter that those who have his Spirit and those who are led by the Spirit can please God And now they can love God, right? Without His Spirit, we are hostile to God. We learned that in the beginning of the chapter. If you missed that, go back, because that all that is in there. Those who don't have the Spirit of the Lord are hostile to God. They are on the other side. The Lord is over there, and the other people are over here. We were there once, but thank you to His mercy, now we are with Him. Amen? Amen. Amen. And they say, all things work together. And we're going to stop right there again. All things work together. This is really important. All things work together. Because the way that we see life, this is important to understand. We cannot see our life, the good moments and the bad moments of our life, and isolate those moments. Meaning, I'm going through a bad moment right now. I isolate that moment. Oh, God must not love me. But God, maybe He just doesn't care about me. No, because for those who love God, all things work together as a part of a whole, right? It's not just one thing over here and another thing here. No, it's a whole. It's a whole piece together. And we need to see our life in that way. Let me put an illustration. I was trying to come up with an illustration so I can explain this. So I'm going to bring it to my field, okay? I was trying to record something last week. Some ideas that float in my head sometimes. And I have a little computer, and you can record. So I grab the guitar, and you grab one track, right? And then you just move to the next one. You record the bass line, and then another one for the drum and the piano, etc. So now you have four tracks right there, okay? And at some point, after I record all four tracks, I was like, I kind of like want to hear two notes of the guitar in the fifth track. Just two notes. Like, that's it. And 2 minutes through the song, I just want to have those two notes ringing. I don't know, because I wanted to. So I record a fifth track with those two lines. That's it. So I mute everything but that track. That line is the only one that I could hear. And I push play. 1 minute passed, 1.5 minutes, nothing. Silence, completely in my earphones, couldn't hear anything. Until suddenly, it didn't make no sense by itself. It didn't make absolutely no sense. Like, what is this? Where it goes? I even forgot where it goes and what part of the song goes. So then I went and I unmute all the other tracks. And now it makes sense. Now I can see the whole picture. Now those two pieces, those two notes, are part of a whole. They're beautiful. They sound good. I like it. Maybe you won't like it, but I love it. Like, I love those two notes because I didn't isolate it. Now they're a part of a whole. That's the same thing that happened with our life. All things work together. All things work together. So when you are going through a hard time, think about that. This is just one part of my life. The Lord is working in all my life, in every single situation of my life. Okay? And here, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. This is awesome. And I love that you guys choose the song because every song is like, dang, right in the money. I like it. Now, let me ask you a question. Who can promise such a thing? Who can promise that all things work together for my good? It cannot be somebody special. I cannot do that, and I cannot promise you that. It got to be someone special, somebody that has control over everything, somebody that is sovereign, somebody that can, again, see everything and have control every single little aspect of my life and of the world. That's our God. And I speak about our God is sovereign, so he can control that, and He can promise that all things work together for good. I love that. I love that the Lord is the only one that can actually promise that. Because He's God. Amen? This is just beautiful. So we need to start understanding this. The sovereignty of God. Okay? That God is sovereign. And we need to understand this because as we keep going, and sometime in life, it's hard to understand what's going on with our life. Sometimes we want to understand what's happening with my life or what's happening with my brother's life. Sometimes we go through a text and we are trying to understand that text. What is this? Why this doesn't make any sense to me? Well, sometimes we just had to go back to this, to basic. God is sovereign and He is in control and He do whatever He want. Okay, and we're going to go through a text so probably it will be better or easy for you to understand what I mean. We need to go back to that base. The Lord is sovereign. He is God and I'm not, okay? And this is key also to, like I said, to approach the mysteries of God and to understand also our purpose, that He is God and He's sovereign. Now, the beauty here is that His providence makes sure that every situation is good to us as part of how He shaped us to be more like His Son. So let's read verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, which is the same verse, but now we're going to finish it. For those who are called according to His purpose. Now, I'll tell you, this is the only verse that we're going to go slow. Then we're going to move a little faster, okay? But this verse is pretty cool. It's really nice. According to His purpose. According to whose purpose? To mine? To what I want? To what my mom wanted for me to be when I grew up? No, to His purpose. Not to mine. To the God that is sovereign, that is in control over everything. So, for those who are called according to His purpose. Now, I was thinking about this idea of a purpose, and I want to suggest two purposes for the Christian. The first one is what we all know that we are called. What is our meaning? We are called to glorify our Lord and to enjoy Him. That's a purpose that we all have, right? To share His gospel. Everything that we all do. The Lord called us all to do that. But there is also a personal purpose that I don't know what that is for you. I kind of know what is for me. I know that the Lord called me to lead worship, apparently to preach sometimes too. And I know that the Lord have a purpose to you too. But it's His purpose, not yours. So that's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit. And you will see how everything, the whole chapter 8, is starting making sense now. Okay? And then we move to, I want you to consider the story of Joseph. Think about Joseph. You guys all know Joseph, right? From the Old Testament. I said I was going to preach the New Testament, but I got to bring the Old Testament. Think about Joseph. What happened with him? In our eyes, in men's eyes, and we can say that nothing good happened to him. He was sold by his brothers. He went as a slave, right? Then the wife of the Potiphar, that's what you say in English, Potiphar? The wife of the king wanted to get him in bed. He ended up in prison. Nothing good. But what did he say at the end? What did he say at the end? He said what he said to his brothers, Genesis 50:20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. See, if Joseph saw that moment when his brothers saw him as an isolated moment, he probably will be done. Or if he saw just when he went to prison as an isolated moment, he will be like, God doesn't care about me. But I think that Joseph could see that the Lord was bigger than all that. And he could see it later when he looked back, that the Lord was bigger than that and He has a purpose. And so that he say, you meant bad, you meant evil for me. And all that happened, it was bad. But at the end, all things were together for my good. See how amazing this is? The Lord wants us to be good, to that all things work together for our good. Let's read verse 29. For those who He foreknew, He also predestined. I love this verse. I'm not going to say that just yet. But let me say this. It's kind of cool that the Lord, before I even was born, He looked at through time, if we can put the Lord in time, because the Lord doesn't work that way, and He already knew me. And He already knew you, right? And not he knew you, but He also predestined you. What that means? What does predestination mean? What predestined mean? That word comes from the word pro horizon, which is where we get the word horizon, right? And it means pre-established boundaries, to mark out or bound, to determine, to limit, to ordain. All this for His purpose. He has done that for His purpose. So what is this purpose that we're talking about? Well, to be conformed to the image of His Son. Okay, so now what that word conform mean? And this word was really cool when I was learning about it because I didn't really knew what conform mean. I mean, I have an idea. But let me tell you what it means. It comes from the word symorphos. And it's two words. Son, they mean union, together, completeness is not the sense that the first part of the word has, and morphe, which means the adjustment of parts, to shape, to form. So when you put the two ideas together, it's like you say to be jointly formed, to be jointly formed. So to be jointly formed to the image of his son. That's what it's saying. Now, think about this. It's not saying just to be by his side. It's not just saying to just walk, you know, and look at him from far. It's saying to be jointly formed. This is why it's so important what the Lord did for us, that he gave us his spirit. The idea here is that he needs to be in me, and I need to be in him. Jointly formed. We are being transformed together. I cannot do this on my own. I need his spirit. I need that he can guide me. I need to be led by his spirit. I love that because it brings my life to another level. I shouldn't just be okay with just to walking with the Lord every once and then, right? Or just to feel okay to all the Sundays I see the Lord. No, it's joining form. I got to be in him. I already can do that because he put his spirit on me. I'm capable of, right? We can please the Lord. So I love that. Romans 8:9 say, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If in fact the spirit of God dwells in you. John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. That word helper is the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. The importance of his spirit in us is key to be conformed to his image. We need his spirit. And not just we need it because we have the spirit, but we need to be led by the spirit. Okay? In order, say it continue the verse, in order that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. Now I love this part because it gives us that sense of family, how the Lord brings us in now as his children, as his child, and give us that spirit of adoption. But it's thanks to this firstborn that now we can enjoy, you know, the Father, and we can enjoy this beautiful family of God. It's because of what he has done. Verse 30, and those who he predestinate, he also called. And those who he called, he also justified. And those who he justified, he also glorified. Now, this verse, we can go in two different directions. And the first one is what I used to do for many years. For many years. Is get into a long discussion and a debate about the doctrines, Calvinism, Reform, all that fun stuff that entertain us. Okay, I used to do it. I used to be there. I would grow up in a Reformed church, and we will sit down and just talk for hours. And I can tell you that 75%, 80% of the time, that conversation got heat up. It got passionate. Every time, well, not every time, 85% of the time, 80% of the time, most of the time. We can go that way. Or we can do and read it in his context. We can just read it in his context. And I got to tell you, I was telling my friend Felipe that I felt so frustrated when I read this because I felt that I missed so much every time I read it before. I was missing the beauty of this. What it mean this? What it mean to be predestinated, that he justified me, that he foreknew me? What that means? I was missing the beauty of this verse. And so let's read it in his context, because I'm not going to get into a debate with you. That could be fun. If you want to read about it, there's hundreds of books, maybe thousands of books about it. Everybody wants to understand that, but so you can have fun with that. But we're going to read it in the context. What is the context? From verse 1 till this point, and even to the end, we know something, that he has done everything, absolutely everything, so we can be safe in him. That's the context. Every time that we read through chapter 8, that's what we learn. He has done absolutely everything so we can be safe in him. So is that the context that we read this? We can say, he foreknew me, he predestined me, he called me, he justified me, and he glorified me. Now, let me ask you a question. In what part of all that you and me have done something? What part do you say, oh, I'm going to bring this in so, you know, I can be justified, or I can be glorified, or I can be this? In what part you and me have done something? We have done absolutely nothing. He called, he foreknew us. He predestined us. He justified us. He made us his children. He gave us his spirit. He glorified us. There's no part that say, and Gerardo did. There's no part that say that. Absolutely no. It's all him. He made sure that my security and salvation doesn't depend on anything but him. And that's amazing. That's cool. That's cool to know that my salvation depends only on him. I can do absolutely nothing to reverse that because I didn't do anything. See, it's all about him. So don't miss the beauty of this verse. I made the mistake to get entertained into all those debates and all those conversations, and I was missing this. The Lord was looking for me. He saw me. He predestinated me. He put a mark on me so I can be his. He justified me. He called me to be his. It's I don't know, it hit me different. We can go all day long trying to understand, you know, that question. Why the Lord choose, you know, whoever he choose? Well, we can do a lot of those questions. We can say, why the Lord choose Israel and not another nation? Why the Lord choose Moses and not another person? Why the Lord choose David and not one of his brothers? And we can go forever. And we're going to miss the beauty of this. See, we need to read this as it is. The Lord loved us so much that he saw you and me, and he made us his. And you know what? And at the end of the day, the question that we really want to ask is, why the Lord choose me? Why the Lord saw me? When he was in eternity, before I was born, why the Lord saw me and choose me? I know me. What did he saw me? Absolutely nothing. And for more that I try to answer that question, it's just like, I don't know. It's just like the other ones. Why the Lord choose Israel? I don't know. Why the Lord choose Moses? I don't know. Why you, Lord, choose me? I don't know. That's the truth. Just because he wanted to? Because he loved me, because he pleased, I had no idea. That's why we had to go back to the Lord is sovereign. And sometimes we're just not going to understand his ways. But you can be certain of something. He saw you, and he loved you, and he justified you. This is beautiful. All Christians believe, oh, this is G.I. Parker. I read this, and I thought that was really cool what he said. All Christians believe in divine sovereignty. On our feet, we may have arguments about it. But in our knees, we all agree that he's sovereign. I love it. Because that's when we are before this God, right? When we are talking, you know, between you and me, oh, yeah, I know theology. I know doctrine. Yeah, I read this book, and I read the other one, too. Right, because it's, you know, you and me. But as soon as we go to our knees and we are before this great God, what can we say? Lord, you are God and I'm not. Right? I love that. I love how he put it. It's just really cool. Let's keep reading. Verse 31 through 34. What then shall we say to the things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charges against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us? And so the idea here is like, okay, after everything that we have read before, we already learned about how the Lord loves us. We already all this. What can we say now? What is the conclusion of this? Where he say, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know? Amen. And I was thinking, and also I read somewhere, you know, Paul could have just finished the chapter here and will be like a mic drop, like, boom. If God is for us, who can be against us? Boom, see you later. And the chapter will be like amazing. It still will be amazing. Right? But he doesn't. You know, and I think that he didn't because he was a pastor. And he knew that we will still have, you know, those man questions like, but maybe there's something. Maybe there's something that could come against us or could separate us from the Lord, from his love. The logic here in verse 32, before we move to that actually, verse 32, He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how he will not also give him graciously, that part is so strange for me. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Next time I'm going to read in Spanish, okay? And you guys have to learn. Okay, the idea here is it's pretty much this. This is the way that I was trying to put it together. So if before, when we were hostiles to God, when we were his enemies, we were not in his side, in that condition, the Lord did absolutely everything so we can be his. He did absolutely everything so we can be his. How he, now that we are his, right, he will not give us everything. If before, when we were not even in his side, we were in his enemies, he had done everything, how he will not do it now that we are his children? That's the kind of the idea of what he's, how he's writing it here. How he will not give us all things. So he removed our condemnation. He justified us again. He made us his children. He gave us a spirit of adoption. It seemed like he already did everything. But he still say that he will give us all things. So what is that? What is that all things? Well, all things that are related to his purpose. All things that that will help us to be conformed to the image of his son. All things that are related to his nature, that are spiritual. All things that are that, like his promises, so we can be victorious in this life in him. All things that we need to live and share the gospel. Those are all the things that he is promising here. In verse 33, we're going to keep moving here. Verse 33, we see God as the great judge. So let's go back. Let's see. And maybe you haven't heard this before. Maybe you are new here. I don't know. But if you are, I want to all be on the same page here, okay? So we're going to go back in time. We have a God that is holy. We have a God that is holy. There's no fault in him. We, as humans, we are all sinners. We have sin against our Lord. Therefore, we cannot be with him. We are separated from him. That's why we know that without his spirit, we were hostiles. We were his enemies. But in his love, he wants us to be with him, right? So what he does? He does absolutely everything so we can do that, right? Which is beautiful knowing that he does absolutely everything so we can be with him. So in verse 33, we have that the only one, this is what we read, verse 33, the only one who had the authority to charge us and put us in condemnation is the same one that removed that condemnation. It's the same one. The only one that had that authority is the same one that removed that condemnation. That's beautiful. Now, how he does this? Well, verse 34. He sent his son Jesus. He died. We were the one that was supposed to die to pay for our sins. But he sent his son Jesus. He dies. My charges go to him. He take the punishment. He take the curse and he take the condemnation for me. So that debt can get paid, and now I can have access to this God, this amazing God. So he died, he paid with his life, and died in our place. It's like he say, you are Gerardo, you had to die, but I want to do it for you because I love you, and I want you to enjoy a relationship with the Creator. You had to die. You messed up. You sinned. You cannot be close to me. You cannot be close to God. But me, Jesus Christ, I want to take your place. So I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to take everything that you deserve, and I'm going to take it over my shoulders. But I love also that he adds something else. And he say, more than that. You see, you go through chapter 8, and it's always more and more and more and more. The Lord doesn't stop. So more than that. More than that. Who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So not only he did come and die for me and give me that justification that I needed so I can be close to God, and he rises from the dead and he goes to heaven, he doesn't stop right there. Now he's interceding for us. Can you see the Lord never stop? Keep giving us his mercy, keep showing us his love, and never stop. It come after other every time, more and more. That's how much the Lord loves you. How much The Lord loved me, and he cares for you and for me, and he wants us to be with him in our relationship with him. He doesn't stop. His mercy continues and doesn't leave us alone. It's beautiful. Is it? Is it just me, or is it actually beautiful? It's beautiful. Sometimes I feel like, is it just me, Lord? It's like, no, this is great. Nothing can take you away from him because it's not about you. We cannot reverse this, as I said before, because it's not something that we have done. It's all him. Thank you, Lord, because it's all him. 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all the things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. You know, I love how Paul wrapped all this up with amazing love of God. I love it how he bring it, you know, to his love. We were established. I think that it's pretty clear that the Lord has done everything for us. Is that clear? The Lord has done everything for us, okay? But again, because Paul was a pastor, and he knew that we probably will still have questions, that maybe, like I said before, maybe there's something. Maybe there's something that can separate me from his love. Because he knew that we were hard-headed, and we would start asking questions like, but it got to be someone. Or maybe there's something. So he started going through a list now, right? It's like, we're gonna cover all the holes here so you guys are sure about this. How much the Lord love you. So he started going through a list. And when I was reading the list, it gave me that idea of that all the first list that we read here are real stuff, like things that we could go through. Tribulations, I'm going to read it again. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sore. Almost like things that we, as humans, we could go through. As a matter of fact, people go through those stuff, right? And in some degree, we have some control over those things, our real things, real situation. And make me think that the Lord, there is such a weird thing about some doctrines that teach us that all once you come to the Lord, everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to be good. I don't read any of that in this chapter, in this passage, and in any part of the Bible. It's talking about that we're going to go through tribulations. How is that? I don't read that, maybe you say, in this chapter, apparently. Well, do you remember what he wrote earlier in Romans 8:18? This is the same chapter, just a little, you know, before all this. He say, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us, in us, I'm sorry. Now another verse in 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it's written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined for what God has prepared for those who love him. Now in Romans 8:18, it's way more clear that even though we're going to go through sufferings, he's not saying that we're not going to go through suffering. We are going to go through sufferings. Okay, and we learn that. Okay, so anytime that I tell you something different, I can tell you that it's not in the Word. The Lord tells us we're going to go through sufferings. But we're going to learn something, that when we go through suffering, it's something on the other side of that suffering. So these things, as I say, these things exist and may happen, but we will succeed. We will be on the other side. With a flag, we did it, we made it. We will see tribulation, that's right, but we will also see the beauty of his glory after all this, according with the verses that we read. I love 1 Corinthians 2:9, we read it the last time. I'm going to read it again because I just like it. Say, but it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined for what God has prepared for those who love him. See, we're going to go through tribulations. We're going to go through hard times. But what is on the other side? You cannot even imagine. Your heart cannot even get to that point to imagine what is on the other side, what the Lord has prepared for us. I love how he put it there. The heart of man never imagined for what God has prepared. We can't. We don't have that capacity because it's going to be just like way out of our league to even think what is on the other side. And that's why he said that we are more than conquerors. Why? Because we will go through tribulations, but we're going to conquer. We're going to be victorious at the end of all this, right? So again, let's go back in time and let's remember what we said before. All things work together for our good. You cannot isolate things. You're going to go through hard times. I'm going to go through hard times. But I know and I have the promise that after all that tribulation, you know, I'm going to be conquered. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be good. The Lord's going to be there. And the Lord's going to be here too. But I'm going to see the good more clearly. Right? I'm going to look back. It's like, oh, now I see why I went through that tribulation or through that hard time. Even though I didn't understand it then, I can see it now. This security rests in his love for you and not the other way around. I like that because look at how it ends this. Let me find it here. No, in all the things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Who loved who? The Lord loved us. Right? The Lord loved us. Another one. He doing something for us. And that's why we are conquered. This security rests in his love for you. Because my love, it goes like this, right? This is depending how I feel in the morning, depending if I have any issues with my family, maybe at work, and it seems like, I'm like this. So thank you, Lord, that all this promise is securing his love for me, because that's not going to change. Amen? Amen? Amen. For I'm sure, again, there is no doubt about this. I'm sure. It's not saying I'm fairly sure. I think I'm pretty sure. I'm 99% sure. I'm almost sold for this idea. No, I'm sure. Another statement, like affirmation, one after the other. I'm sure. And now we have a deeper list that I like to think of as something deeper. Like it goes beyond things that maybe we can control. And the list goes... And it starts talking about death, life, angels, the future, powers. See how it kind of get in a different, I don't know, I saw it that way. It just got to a different level now, the list. It's not things that maybe I can control in some degree. Now we're talking about things that are out of my control. So the list got a lot deeper. But what is the result? Still, you can make whatever list you want. Nothing can separate you from his love. You can make a list, a human list. You can make a list about, bigger things. You can make a Chilean list, if you will. You can make a whatever, any list you want. Name it. Doesn't matter. Nothing can separate us from his love. Whatever list you have, it doesn't work. His love is secure. His love is amazing. Let me find myself here. And this is because he's above all things. He's God, sovereign in all power. Our status, our soul, our identity depend on the only being that never changed. The only one that cannot be defeated. He's the source of life and love. That's where our security depends on. He's never going to change. So if he say that nothing can separate you from his love, that's it. He's not going to change his mind. He's not us, right? This is beautiful. So do you remember how we start the chapter-ish? Yeah? We read, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's how we started. Affirm affirmation. Now how we finish it. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Another strong affirmation. Statements of security. In who? In the Lord Jesus Christ. In him only. It's because of him that we can be here now preaching this, understanding his word, having a relationship with him. It's just because of him. We should live our life like conquerors, as someone that knows where he's going. You have a new identity. You are a new creature. Let me go back because I had the verse here somewhere. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You're a new creature now. You have his spirit. You can see things differently. You go through tribulations in a different way. You know that the Lord loves you. And whatever you're going through, all things will work together for your good. We know those things. So when I finished this chapter, I was trying to find a way, how can I finish the sermon? Because it's a pretty awesome sermon. And so I went back and I read the chapter at least two more times. And usually I read in Spanish and then I read in English to see, to get, you know, a little bit of both languages. And I was trying to find a way to close this sermon. And the only thing that kept coming to my mind and my heart, it was, sorry, why you choose me? And it kept coming back to me. Why me? Why you choose me? I know me. I know I'm not worth it. And I know I don't have nothing to offer to him. And that's why this chapter is, it hit me in a different way this time. Because before I was just entertained with all the, you know, like questioning the Lord. But this time he made it personal. Hey, I have done everything for you. I love you so much. I love you so much, Gerardo. I keep, you know, hearing my name in there. And the only question keep coming back to me is like, why do you choose me? I wasn't even born and you already choose me. I didn't even know myself and you already choose me. Why? The truth is, I don't know why. I had no idea why. I just want to invite you to go back and read this chapter again. Don't just live here with what you have heard. Go back and read this chapter. This is a love letter from the Lord to you, and how much he loves you and how much mercy he has shown you just to make you his child. And so you can enjoy him now and know him and have a purpose. You are safe in the hands of the Creator, and he loves you. Be certain of that and rest in that truth. He loves you. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, because you are so good to us, Lord. And we are so thankful for that love. Because the truth is, as we keep reading and reading, it's all you. It's all you reaching out to us. You have done absolutely everything, Lord. And we are sorry that we missed it so many times. We are sorry, Lord, that we missed that. I'm sorry I missed it. I'm thankful, Lord, for what you have done for me. And I pray, Lord, that you can help me to remember this, to cultivate this, to read your word, to know you more, to live for you, to find out what it is that you want me to do for you. Lord, I'm thankful for making me your child, part of your family, knowing that I haven't done absolutely nothing to deserve that, Lord. I praise your name, and I'm thankful for everything that you have done for me. I pray all this in the beautiful name of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I just want to remind you how much the Lord loves you, that he had done everything so you can be here and experience his love. You know, we can experience all kinds of love with each other. But with our God, it's a perfect love. It's a perfect love, which means that whatever you're going through is because he loves you. Even though you may not understand, or I may not understand, all things work together for our good. So go through this week, remember that, walk knowing that the Lord loves you and that nothing can separate you from his love. And also share that love, because everyone needs that love. Amen? That all bless you.